I'm just going to pass on a couple of tips for you today, just if I can. You know, what they say is one of the major causes of macular degeneration. Macular degeneration. Staring at what is called the LED blue lights. Blue lighting is a major cause. It is stressful to the eyes. So you don't want to, and you know, in our kids today, now this is my cell phone, it has blue lighting on it. These kids today live by this phone. They read, they watch movies, they do that, and they start now at a very young age. And they are using those eyes and this blue lighting constantly in their eyes. In fact, they almost never read books. They read whole books on this. They read books. They read, if they read at all. Now, you know, they listen to everything. They go to YouTube for all their information. So almost everything is digital. And I hope that they are very careful. I hope parents are careful to get their kids outside and into sports. And, you know, we start kids on iPads, they're watching movies. I see them on planes. Kids are carrying these iPads all around with them wherever they go. It's sad. And you need a lot of antioxidants in order to stop macular degeneration. And you need to eat eggs, E-G-G-S, eggs. The old theory that eggs were bad for you or had cholesterol is just ridiculous and it's silly. But anyhow, people have bought into that. To whom do we give thanks and for what? Now, God warned the Israelites years ago in Deuteronomy 8, beware that you do not forget the Eternal, your God. Have you ever yourself forgotten to give thanks to somebody? Somebody gave you a gift, somebody did something for you, and you just didn't give them any thanks. You didn't write them, you didn't send them a card, and you realize, oh no, I never thanked them for that. You know how bad you feel? You feel really bad. Well, you even feel worse. God said, I don't want you to forget me. Beware that you do not forget the Eternal, your God, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, in other words, you get rich and increase with goods, just like the Laodicean church, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Eternal, your God. And one of the ways to keep you from forgetting is thanking God. Your heart will be proud. You'll forget the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In Psalm 106, verse 21, I won't read the whole psalm. It's all about Israel and all the things they did. They, verse 21, Psalm 106, verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot him. I don't know how they could forget him. They have the memorial service of keeping the Passover, and every year at the Passover, they would have a reminder of God and what he did. I don't understand how they would forget it, but they did. And in verse 40, Psalm 106, same psalm, down to verse, therefore the anger of the Eternal was kindled against the people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. They failed to give thanks to God. They failed to remember him, appreciating what he did. Thanksgiving is exactly the right attitude, the positional attitude. You know what an attitude is? An attitude is the way you orient yourself towards something. What is your attitude? What attitude are you going to take toward your boss, toward your children, toward your wife? How are you going to position yourself? What is the way that you're going to look for these people? Thanksgiving is the right attitude for those who believe in God and are called through Christ. This is the source of praise to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Death doesn't triumph over us, you see. Death is not going to be the triumph. Why can't death do it? Because death can't hold us in the grave. Because we are going to come out of the grave. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Now, he's talking about the big collection. You know, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem were so persecuted, they were so poor. They needed food. They needed sustenance. And Paul had this big collection, set all the fruits and vegetables, grains and things. We're going to take all this into Jerusalem. Can't be stuff that's too fresh and a spoil, but stuff that they could eat, dried fruits, dried things like that, grains, and send this to Jerusalem. He said, and they're going to give thanks while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And Colossians tells us, whatever you do, Colossians 3:17, I've read this many times and talked about it, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the proper way to live. And even ministers are supposed to give thanks. It's proper for me and all the other ministers to thank God for the grace that is given to each church member. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you, he writes to the Corinthian church, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. This Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day is a silly thing in one sense. It's fine, it's a memorial thing, but they act like, well, this is the only day of the year you're supposed to give thanks. No, you're supposed to give thanks every day and every way and every time and every place and for under every circumstance. Now, that's what a Christian does. Thanks God for everything all the time. This goes on in heaven. They set us an example in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break the seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood from every tribe, tongue, nation, people and nation. This is what they sing to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Lamb. They sing it, worthy. In Revelation 7 and verse 12, they say, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So one of the things is thanksgiving. Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and honor and thanksgiving is given to God. And in chapter 11 of Revelation, we read this, and the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, here's the first thing, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty. who are, who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. We give you thanks. Thank you, God, for your power. Now, one of the things that creates thanks is praise to someone. Okay, we'll talk a minute about that. I'll show you some examples of that. This is the way we as Christians, true Christians, should act. Colossians 2, verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Or the New American Standard Version translated it, overflowing with gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving. Overflowing with it. We overflow with it. I don't care what the circumstances, I don't care where you are, you always give thanks to God. Colossians 3, verse 17, we just read that, whatever you do in word or deed. Colossians 4, and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. In our prayers, we always say we thank God, we thank you. We always thank God, we always praise God, we always glorify God. Now, in the Old Testament, there are two basic Hebrew words that are translated through thanks, giving of thanks or thanksgiving. One is yada, which means praise, not hallel praise, not the hallel, you know, hallelujah praise, no, not that one. But it does mean praise, it means compliments and thanks, compliments. You know, if somebody came up to you and gave you something and did something, we had some wonderful church member who, in my bad back and Molly's bad arm for a little bit last week, just brought us a gift, brought us some dinner, you know, selflessly. And you know, you just want to say how sweet and how nice and how thoughtful, how caring and how generous this was on her behalf to do this for us. Now, she didn't have to do it, you know. She didn't have to do it. She did it on her own to praise her quality of character. Was a good thing, and that's a way of thanking someone, you know. You are very kind. You are very nice. You are very special. You know, whatever praiseworthy compliments to that person's character, it is wonderful. It's a form of thanksgiving, is it not? Well, look at the way the people praise God in the Old Testament. Almost all sacrifices came with, and you see it in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 31, Hezekiah had them consecrate yourselves to the Lord and come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Eternal. Peace offerings in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles and verse 16. Peace offerings and thank offerings. In other words, there were offerings that were special just to say thank you to God. So thank offerings, peace offerings. David, and the word thank is the, you know, the word yada. David appointed special Levites to praise and thank God. You know, David was so aware, we must never forget to thank God. So he appointed Levites to sing and all that. You'll see it here, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise God. Thank is yada. Praise here in this case is hallel. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David had first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks, yada, to the Eternal. To give thanks. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 41. With them, were Herman and Jethuen and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Eternal because His loving kindness is everlasting. God's loving kindness, His faithfulness. The loving kindness is hesed, the covenant faithfulness. David realized, he said, okay, now you will probably recall that during the wilderness time, when they came through the wilderness, they went so far, then they had to tear down the camp of Israel, and then they moved to another section, and as they were moving through the wilderness, he dragged them through the wilderness for 40 years, you remember, because they refused to go into the land of promise right away. They refused it. They, oh, no, the people are too big. Oh, no, we can't do it. So he said, okay, just march around the wilderness and set up the tent. So when they did, in the middle, the tribes lined themselves, three here, three here, three here, 4 times 3 is 12, and then the Levites were busy attending to the temple. They built the tabernacle, it's a tent, the big tent, for God, the Holy of Holies. The Levites had to carry all the posts and the canvas and all the stuff to set it up. The whole tribe of Levi was charged with setting up the tabernacle. Well, now David says, it's been in my heart. I want to build a house for God. I want to build one stable place in Jerusalem where God will dwell forever in Jerusalem. That's, you know, forever now, by the way, does not mean forever. It means, not in our English word forever. It means as long as things continue to stay the way they are, this is where God will be. So that's how they were. So now, 1 Chronicles chapter 23, I want you to notice, David is very concerned about this. For David said, this is verse 25, 1 Chronicles 23, verse 25, for David said, the eternal God of Israel has given rest to his people, and he dwells in Jerusalem forever. Now, because we're going to build this house. I got all the stuff ready. Now, David was not allowed to build it. He got all the material. He got all the gold. He got all the wood. He got all the stuff. He acquired it through his conquering and power. But God said, you're not going to build it. You know, you're a man of blood. You killed one of the good people in your army. You had him killed. That's not, you're not going to do it. I don't think he was mad at him because he killed the Philistines. I think he's mad at him because he killed one of his people. So this is verse 26 now. David said, also, okay, God's going to dwell here in Jerusalem forever. Also, the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and all its utensils for service. They not have to move all this all the time from one place to the other. We're not moving it anymore. We got one place, a tabernacle. So what are these Levites going to do? So, in chapter 23, same chapter, 1 Chronicles 23, dropping down now to verse 30, David said, they are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Eternal, and likewise at evening. Every day, twice a day, I want the Levites out there thanking God and praising God. They don't have to carry anything anymore. So they're going to thank God. I want them to sing. I want the singers. I want those who are good voices to sing, be a part of this choir. They're going to sing and praise God. They're going to thank God every day, twice a day. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, you read here, in unison when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, to praise and to glorify the Eternal. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Eternal, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. See, they praise God. Now, praising God is a form of thanking God. Right? Praising God is a form of thanking. That's one of the parts of thanking God. God delivers you. God blesses you. You say, God, you are so wonderful and kind to me. You're so good to me. You've been so blessed. I thank you. I bless your name because you were so wonderful. You are almighty. You are all powerful. And Jesus Christ, your Son, has given himself for us and has done such great deeds for us. He's given us his grace. These are things you and I do. These are things we're supposed to do for praising God and thanking God. It's a form of both praise and thankfulness to God. In 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 2, Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service. Now, David had already set up this organization. David was truly a tremendous leader. Tremendous. What a heart he had, number one. What executive powers he had, number two. What thoughtfulness he had in organizing all this, number three. So the divisions of the priests, the Levites, and the divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and praise in the gates of the camp of the Eternal. So Hezekiah set it up based on David's round, based on the way David had set it up. And you see through Nehemiah. Nehemiah, that's what they came back into the land. They were filled with the idea of setting it up again. I won't read this whole chapter. Read Nehemiah 12, especially verses 24, 27, 31, 38, 46. Wonderful verses here where they came back in the end and they give thanks. You know, when you look at the book of Psalms, we call it the book of Psalms. It's actually five books. But the Psalms really are a collection of the praises and thanksgivings to God by David, and for Israel, and by Israel, and by others who were very great spiritual leaders of Israel. These were praises for these people. These people praise God in very strong ways. For instance, they thanked God for his faithfulness in the covenant. You'll see that in Psalm 107. They thank God for many things. But here's one that includes includes a whole list of things for which they thanked God. The whole list. Take a look at this. This is Psalm 103. Now, this is poetic language, so I don't want you to go too far astray with it, but it's poetic language. In our English language, we have what we call, and what some linguists have called, growl words. Oh, you're the worst person I've ever known. You're a terrible person. You're an awful person, you know. You'll never imagine. Yeah, these are growl words. They're not meant to be taken literally, that you're the worst person. They're said because a person is angry. Now, they're very bad words because they're very destructive. But they're growl words. In the same way, we have what some linguists call purr, P-U-R-R, purr words. You're the most wonderful person. You're the most beautiful woman. You're the most loving man. You're the most kindest person. All these are ways of purring. They're expressions of our feelings. And at the time, we're feeling very thankful, very gracious, very wonderful. And we say these purr words, which are, you know, they're wonderful. But listen to Psalm 103. It's the Psalm of David. He writes, "Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name." Now, blessing it means you say wonderful things about it. You say, yes, God, you are the provider. You are the wonderful thing. And here's what he says. Now, here's how he does bless it. "Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Now, here's the benefits. "Who pardons your iniquities who heals all your diseases. Now, is that literally true? Does God heal every single disease? Maybe you could say it in a general way. You know, people die, but then the diseases goes away and all that. But, you know, I don't want to take it so far out. I know a church group years ago that they made this, that God was the healer. He heals all your diseases. And, of course, if you're not healed, of course, they blame the person who didn't get healed. And you just lack faith and all that. I don't subscribe to those things. I've seen people with faith who were not healed. They were not healed of their diseases. They died, as did others. David died, old age and disease. There were others who died from disease. They didn't get healed. But God, it's a per word, you know. God has healed so many diseases. And how many times have you recovered from injuries and from diseases, and you were thought this flu was so bad, I can't stand it, I don't think I'll ever recover, I don't think I'll ever get good, I've got fever so high, and yet you recovered, and yet you got blessed. God has put healing powers in our bodies that's tremendous, and God gets the credit for every single healing that I have or you have. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. You thought you were dying. Some people got close to death and got redeemed. Who crowns you with loving kindness. Now, think about it. You come before God, and he puts this crown on your head of loving kindness, his faithful care and loving kindness, his covenant kindness. God's made a covenant with us. And he crowns us with that. Crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. He puts his compassion on top of your head. He crowns you with it. Who satisfies your years with good things. Yes. How many times have our years of living been saturated with good things for the most? And most people have had their lives saturated with good things, especially if you live in the United States. I feel so sorry for people in other countries, and I think we should just, you know, the United States doesn't want to do this. We don't want to rule the world. But, you know, the world would be better off if we just conquer and take these little pipsqueak dictators who take all the money for themselves and let their people starve. We'd be better off. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Eternal performs righteous deeds, he does, and judgments for all who are oppressed. He does righteous for all. Now, you know, I don't know. People are oppressed in different places. They get killed and they get destroyed. But this is per words. These are words of praise because basically this is what God does. This is all in poetic language now. This is all Hebrew poetry. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Eternal is compassionate and gracious. See, these are praise words to God. They are ways of thanking God. He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He abounds in it. His hesed, his covenant kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Now you get mad, God gets mad at you if you don't do what you said. In Israel, when they forgot him, he abandoned them. They forgot, he turned them over to those who hated them. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Boy, is that true? He has not dealt with you and me according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You and I all we've all deserved worse than we have ever gotten. All deserved worse. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you thought, well, you weren't too good, you haven't been too spiritual, you haven't really been, you know, doing the great things for God, And yet blessings came out of the blue for you. Blessings, goodness, good things. And then it humbled you. And you wanted to give thanks to God. And you wanted to praise God. He will not always strive. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, this is verse 11, Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him, reverence him, adore him, and have a fear of losing their relationship with him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Eternal has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Collection of minerals, flesh, muscle, sinews, our bones. Our bones are tied together. The muscles reach in with the tendons, you know, and tied around. Ligaments wrap around like tight ropes to keep all the bones in place. Your elbows have tendons, your shoulders have tendons, your knees have tendons, your hips have tendons. You're all wrapped up. But in the end, we're all dust. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, a psalm of David. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods, before other the Elohim. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word according to your name, or as other translations have, even above your name. Yes, thanksgiving was a part of every part of the temple. And I just love this this psalm 95. This is verses 2 and 3. Psalm 95. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. We come before God's presence with, what do we come with? Thanksgiving. Todah. Thanksgiving. We're going to give God that thanks. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And then it tells you how it's praising God. For the Eternal is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's so great above all gods. Thanksgiving accompanied all the sacrifices. Thanksgiving, accompany all the sacrifices. Psalm 26, verses 6 and 7. I shall wash my hands in innocence. I will go about your altar, O Eternal, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. See, declaring all God's wonder. You're so wonderful, God. You look what you did here. Look what you did here. You're so wonderful. When you do that, it's a form of thanking God for who he is and for what he's done. And in Psalm 122 and verse 4, to which tribes, and these are the psalms of call, they're called the psalms of going up. They're going up to the temple. In Psalm 122 verse 4, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Eternal. An ordinance for Israel. They go up. And what do they go up to do? To give thanks to the name of the Eternal. They go up to the festivals. They go up because the festivals were held in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the high place in Israel. The temple was built on that Mount Zion. And they thank God for the various actions. I will not take time to go through all these psalms, but let me just give you what they're saying. They thank God for deliverance from enemies. You'll see that in different psalms. They thank God for deliverance from prison. They thank God for deliverance from death. They thank God because he puts down the wicked and exalts the righteous. They thank God because he forgives. They thank God because he provides for his people. These are all forms, all reasons to thank God. And they're embedded in so many of the Psalms. You know, in Psalm 7, Psalm 18, Psalm 44, Psalm 79, Psalm 118, Psalm 30, and on and on and on. The various reasons for them, for what he did. Because he provides for his people. Psalm 106, Psalm 111, Psalm 145. All these are reasons, because what has God done for us? Think of what God has done for you. And God warns us, don't forget me. Don't forget the eternal your God. Don't forget that when you got these things that you think your hands have done it. I hurt my back last Friday night. You say, well, David, how did you hurt it? You know? Well, I was sitting at my computer, believe it or not. I sat probably an hour and a half. I was finishing up the bulletin. I was finishing up. I have Bible programs on my computer, so I was reading some of the Bible programs and putting them into my sermon and different verses and things. And I was just trying to finish up my sermon on the computer. And I finally thought I finished, and the dog was, you know, wanting me to play with her and, you know, and all that, and wanted me to take her for a walk. So I get out of my chair, and I must have swung, well, on a swivel, you know, kind of a so the chair that swivels. And I must have swung. And then I said, okay, I'll take you for a walk, Lucy. Let's go. And I reached down, and I get the chain, and all of a sudden my back started hurting. I walked anyhow. I walked down the street, and probably 0.2 mile. And so when I came back, my back was hurting Friday night, and I could not get any peace and any, and it continued. And of course, everything I did, which is kind of foolish, I did wrong for my back. I did wrong. I started to do this and to try to act like I was did before. I'm trying to do all the performance of things I did before, and it got worse and worse and worse. And I couldn't understand it. I wanted to stress like I did before. I wanted to do. And Friday night, as I went to bed, there was no position, not on my back, not on my side, not on any position that I could get that was comfortable. None of them were comfortable. Everything hurt. So I was up pretty much all night long. Get up, I just see if I could get up. And even walking, I could barely walk. My legs were weak. I felt like my thighs were weak. I found out later my daughter-in-law had similar problem years ago. Well, a couple of years ago. And she said, your legs get weak. That's to protect your back so that you don't do too much. Your legs get weak. You can't do these things that you did before, and because your back needs to be protected. So I've sat here now for about an hour. My chiropractor told me about 30 minutes in front of the computer, David, get up and walk around. So I've been here more than 30 minutes. And I am very grateful, though. I am not in pain like I was last week. I'm not in pain. I've had very nice people give me advice and give me some help and everything. And I'm just very grateful for the healing powers God has placed in our bodies. The next time, I'm going to go through the New Testament with the major words of thanksgiving. I'm going to show you how we thank God and why we thank God, and some little scriptures that you probably haven't known. You read them. I know you know. I'm not telling you anything new. I know you read them, but you probably have forgotten what they really meant and how to apply them with our lives today. We'll go over that in next week's sermon.